Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the world and how we as believers can take a stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ and speak into the world, speak truth to those who need to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the good news is simply this: Jesus Christ is alive. He was a historical figure, lived some 2,000 years ago. Many would just want to relegate him to history. But his resurrection doesn't allow for that.
No.
He's alive today. And as a result of that, he is speaking into our culture today. And how does he do that? By proclaiming the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection and what that means to us. And those who respond by faith are rescued out of this present evil age, and they are added to the kingdom of God. And God sends his Holy Spirit to take up residence in them. That's the good news. And that's the benefit of the gospel. So often we want to change the nature of the world. We want to make the world a better place. And certainly we can, you know, do some things, change some laws, change some systems, change some stuff like that to enable people to enjoy life a little bit more. But the essence of the world is still the same. It's still sin and death. And anyone in the world, no matter how good their life is and how good it looks on the surface, there's still a fundamental problem. And they don't have genuine life. Only the gospel can speak into that world.
Yes.
And bring life to those who are dead in sin. That's why we need to focus on the gospel so much, not simply as a message of salvation, but a message of new life altogether. And so let's talk about it on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. Great passage in 1 Corinthians. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him.
Yeah.
I mean, folks are into human reason. They're into enlightenment. They're into, trying to lift themselves up through human intellect. And that just isn't going to cut it. We need grace in our lives. We need to humbly receive
yes.
what God has for us.
Yes.
That's when we will flourish as human beings. And that's why Christ has become for us our wisdom. He is the wisdom of God, the logic of God that makes this life make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast again, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Let's start in Hutto, Texas with our good friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Bob, who's with you today?
Richard is here
I'm
with
here.
Me today.
Oh, good. I wanted to compliment him on something I learned from his program. But first, I want to read Psalms 19:1. Is that okay?
Certainly.
It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows and proclaims his handiwork. And over in Romans 1:20, it says, for ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and his attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible and through the living things that he has made from his handiwork. And where I'm going with this is a friend of mine was talking about these rainbow stickers on cars and how flying these rainbow flags for this new attack on God's marriage plan. And I said what Richard said. I said, no, now wait a minute. That is not true. Jesus is true. Jesus placed the rainbow in the sky as a a covenant between man and all flesh of this earth that he would never destroy it again by a flood. And that's not true. And if you want to discuss it, we can discuss the truth. But if not, the conversation's over. And I thank you, Richard. It worked real well. We discussed it and went to Genesis 9, and I showed him.
Wow. I'm glad it's useful. I mean, there's nothing that we need to fear in an open conversation about God and his love and his grace as it compares to anything that's going on in our world today. I mean, you don't have to beat people up. You don't have to be beat up by other people. You can have an open discussion, and if they choose to disagree, they've chosen to disagree. I mean, that's the extent of it. But in the meantime, we can proclaim truth, just like you read from Psalms and Romans. God can be seen even in a world as messed up as ours. If you look carefully at the creation, at how intricate and how magnificent our world is, the animals, the plants, cellular level, atomic level, space and cosmology. If you've got your eyes open and your heart open, all you can do is fall on your face before God and say thank you.
But isn't it strange how the enemy has tried to take something that was placed in the sky and created by God and hijacked it for a symbol of a perverted type of what God calls marriage between one man and one woman?
Well, I think it's just a fairly common occurrence. Language and symbology has always been tried. People have tried to hijack it to be used in different forms. And, you know, it is what it is. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. Even the Bible writers picked on common themes and pictures from their time and turned them to good to explain the things about God. So it works both ways. Again, we don't have to be fearful of it. We don't have to be angry of it. It really, for me, is sad that the world system in general and certain people in particular seem so intently anti-God that they have to turn everything. They can't leave anything alone. And that's just a sad statement. I think it's a picture of the lostness of our world in general, but it also gives many, many opportunities for sharing the gospel and bringing people to Jesus.
Well, I sure have enjoyed that series on the darkness and how to handle it, because I'm telling you what, it looks like gross darkness is coming upon this world, and what we need to do is be steadfast and stand, like you said, and turn it towards Christ and do it in love and not back off of it. And it could be costly, but I'm not going to waver in my faith towards Jesus Christ and what he's done in my life and can do it in others' lives. Thank you all.
Well, thank you, Clay. Thanks for your call today. Boy, it's an interesting discussion, and it's one that I think we need to really engage in robustly. Mm-hmm. as far as what's happening in the world today. Clay was talking about, you know, the darkness seems to be growing, and I like to think of it in terms of you know, God kind of raising the curtain a little bit and allowing us to see just how dark the world is. You know, most of us live in this fantasy world that people are basically good. This world is basically a good place, and I'm not talking about planet Earth or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the world system, and that if we just give it enough time, it'll all work itself out, and everything will just be wonderful. But that's not history. I mean, that's not what history would tell us. So if history has shown us the dark side of the world, why wouldn't the future be the same as far as this world system is concerned? The only light that's in this world is the light of God that has been shown in the face of Jesus Christ. There's no other place to find light. It's in him and in him alone. We get to bear that light as his children. We get to, as Paul said in Philippians, be like stars held out in the universe.
Yes.
But stars simply reflect the light of something else. And so that's the same with us. We're simply reflecting the light of Jesus Christ because we belong to him, because he lives in us, because he's alive inside of us. That is the wonder of this gospel message. But the other side of the coin, as far as our discussion and how do we engage in these things, we want to stay kind of out of the fray of is this right or is this wrong. I mean, I think intuitively people know that, and keep the conversation on the level of death and life. That's the issue for God, isn't it?
Yes.
There's sins out there. There's you know, morality. There's right things to do. There's wrong things to do. And we get caught up in all of that, and we miss the real point that underneath the world system, the problem is death. There's no real life there, so they're trying to make it up and trying to grab hold of something that will bring about meaning and purpose, but it's just empty. And so we have to realize that there's something of substance that we can offer, and that's the very life of Jesus Christ. And so, like on the homosexual issue, does the Bible call that sin? Yes, the Bible calls it sin. But folks are hanging on to it because they think that's who they really are. They think that's their real identity as people, and they want to hold on to it because they think that's where ultimate happiness is going to be found, mm-hmm. in living out who they really are as people, or who they think they really are as people. But what they're going to find, just as anybody else is going to find, is that's empty. There's emptiness there. There's not just real, genuine satisfaction for the soul. So somebody is going to be left wanting. Well, what are they wanting? The life of Christ.
Yes.
And it's only available in one place. So what God is calling us to do is to come to Him with empty hands. So many people come to Him with hands that are filled with things, saying, you know, bless this. You know, this is who I am. I want you to bless it so that I can go out and be happy doing what I want to do. That's not the way it works. We need to realize that old life is an empty life. Peter talks about that. He says that we can be set free from that empty way of life that was handed down to us by our moms and dads. And that's exactly right. I know in my own experience, Richard, I couldn't have asked for a better family. I couldn't have asked for a better mom. I couldn't ask for a better dad. They were supportive. They were encouraging. They were loving. They provided everything that I could ever want or need. They opened up opportunities for education, for just advancement, just enrichment, all of those sort of things. And then not only did I have an incredible mom and dad, I had an incredible extended family that was supportive in the same way. Couldn't ask for a better situation. And yet in my college years, I found out that wasn't enough. I was still empty on the inside, and I needed life from Jesus. And that's what we're all going to discover if we're honest with ourselves, that this just isn't cutting the bill for us. It just isn't doing what we had hoped that it would. It's empty. And when we realize that, when we come to the truth of that, then we can receive what God has for us. But He's not a negotiator. We can't negotiate terms with Him and say, you know, this is what I want to do, and will you bless it, and that sort of thing. It doesn't work that way. He's come to give us life. Why? Because we're dead spiritually, dead in sin, and the only way out of that is through resurrection. That's why the resurrection of Jesus is so critically important. That's why it's the hinge on which all of Christianity turns. Without it, we're still dead in our sins. We're still people without hope.
Yes.
But the gospel injects hope. So if we're really going to engage in conversation, we need to take it to that level, to the death to life issue. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, we must stop reacting in fear and start responding by faith.
Yes.
That's what we need.
Yes, indeed. 844-322-2742 is the number. If you have something that you would like to discuss, we would love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer today. And let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Ralph, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Ralph. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, good evening, fellas. How y'all doing?
We're doing fantastic. How about you today?
I just got off work. I'm about to head to the house with the kids. And I lost my voice in the past couple of days, but I'm good. Other than that, I'm really blessed. I'm spiritually, I'm doing good, brother.
Well, wonderful. Well, what's on your mind today?
My question is, people speaking in tongues in some churches and the power to heal. What's your opinion on that?
Well, speaking in tongues, you know, that's a controversial subject, but I think when you read what the Word of God has to say, it really actually clarifies the issue. We see tongues at the day of Pentecost. Folks were there on that particular day. It was one of the Jewish festivals, so many of the Jews from all over Israel and around the world had come into Jerusalem to celebrate that festival. Something spectacular, supernatural happened that day in the giving of God's Spirit. He poured God's Spirit out upon man. And the disciples spoke that gospel word to the people. And the people that day were able to hear that gospel word, that message concerning Christ, in their own language. That was the miracle. And they responded, as Luke recorded, some 3,000 were added to the church that day because they heard the message concerning Christ in their native tongue. And you look at that and you say, wow, that is unbelievable. Yeah. And then the next time you pick up the gift of tongues, you see it a couple of times in the book of Acts. But if you notice, it's always in association with the giving of the Spirit to a new people group. So it was there when the Spirit was poured out on the Jews. It was there when it was poured out on the Samaritans. It was there when it was poured out on the Gentiles. And that was to bear witness to Peter and the apostles that God shows no favoritism, that his gift of the Holy Spirit is to any and to all who call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what Peter said in the Jerusalem council when he stood up and said, I have witnessed that God shows no favoritism. And I conclude that both Jew and Gentile are saved exactly alike by grace in Jesus Christ. So that gift of tongues that he witnessed enabled him to say that with conviction and with passion, and to set that as the truth of the gospel message, that this gospel, this new life, was available to both Jew and Gentile. Anyone who would name who would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Now we fast forward to the letter to the Corinthians. Well, we can't take any doctrine about, you know, is the gift of tongues for us today or not from that, because Paul was just chastising them for their abuse of it. He was saying, you're just a bunch of little children.
Yeah, they made it a full contact sport.
Yes, yes. And boy, he jumped all over them and said, man, you're all into self-edification. Where is that as far as a gift of the Spirit? If it's a genuine gift of the Spirit, it's for the edification of the body. It's to build the body up so that the body can do its work in this world today. And yet they had made it a gift for self-edification. And that's why Paul, right in the middle of that discussion, stops and gives the definition of love. And he says, let me show you a better way. If you are abiding in the Spirit and the Spirit is working through you, you will be speaking the language of love to the people that you encounter. And that's what right. edifies, that's what builds up, that's what makes a difference.
Right. Okay, so, I mean, but that was way back in the day. Do you think people still have that, or do you think they should still have that? That authority to speak in. Well, people don't even speak in different tongues. They speak gibberish nowadays.
Well, I think I think it's always going to be a known language. And
right,
again,
right.
that's the Spirit's discretion. That's not up to us. As Paul wrote, the Spirit gives gifts as he sees fit for the building up of the body. And I personally believe that tongues was an evangelistic gift. So somebody on a mission field encounters somebody and there's a language barrier, I think God can supernaturally equip that person to speak in that other language so that the gospel message can be heard by the hearer and life can be given.
Has that ever happened, though?
Well, I've heard of people saying that for sure. We had a gentleman that worked with us that went to Brazil and had the opportunity to speak with somebody, and all of a sudden he was speaking in Portuguese. I mean, this was his testimony, and the person he was speaking to came to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And, really?
Yeah. So I that's the Spirit's discretion, isn't it?
Yeah. But didn't Paul in the same chapters of 13 and 14 in Corinthians say that all that was going to come to an end? Speaking in tongues, miraculous things happening, but the love would never end or something like that.
Well, he did say all those things would cease. Now there's lots of speculation as to when they will cease. There are some that say it ceased back in the apostolic days. Others say that it's still happening today. But again, genuine Spirit-given gifts are going to be for the benefit of the body, not for the edification of the person. And I think if it's given today, as far as tongues is concerned, it's going to be an evangelistic gift.
Okay. All right, then, brother. Well, okay, one more. You got time for one more question?
Well, real quickly, see what we can do for you.
What do you think what Jesus meant when he was telling the apostles that, when you go forth, you'll do works greater than I did, or something like that?
Well, I think he's talking about the body. So back in Jesus' day, he was limited to Israel, wasn't he? But now the body is all over the world. And so we're seeing incredible works of God happening all over the world today through his body. So when he was here, he was in a single body. And today he gave his body, shared his body. When we come to Christ, we become part of the body of Christ. And so we're a part of that great assembly of believers through whom God is working through and doing incredible things in this world today. Well, Ralph, we're out of time on today's broadcast. We certainly appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
All right, brother. Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you as well. Want to say thank you to all of those who stand with us in support of Basic Gospel, investing in the gospel of Jesus Christ so that it can touch other lives, bring life to those who are dead in sin, freedom to those who are in bondage, forgiveness to those who are struggling with guilt and shame. That's the power of the gospel message. So thank you for investing in that. If you have never given to Basic Gospel, let today be the day or very soon where you can stand with us to get this message. It's what the world needs. The world needs Jesus. The world needs to know his love, his grace, his mercy. And you have an opportunity to deliver that message through a radio, through internet, through resources that this ministry is putting together. So stand with us as a Basic Gospel partner. All the information on how to do so is at basicgospel.net. Just click the support or donate link and you'll see how you can be a part of what God is doing. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.